in this study, what we've seen is really Paul exhorting the church in Corinth there because of how they have responded to the letter, how they've responded to the coming of Titus and all these things. And Paul is very joyful over the response that Corinth has made. So we've seen that quite a bit through this book. As we look into chapter 8, the tone kind of changes a little bit. And as Paul begins to speak on the subject of giving. Now, in this chapter, he never condemns Corinth. He doesn't condemn them at all. But he does exhort them to do what he believes is the right thing. The scripture that we have before us in chapter 8, and really continuing on into chapter 9, is really the most detailed account of giving found in the Word of God. Now, just to kind of give you a little bit of idea of what is going on at the time that Paul is writing this, he is writing concerning this collection for the saints in Jerusalem. Now, to kind of describe to you why he would be collecting for those saints, in the year 37 A.D., during the reign of Caligula, some of you all may have heard that notorious name in history, there was a great earthquake, and the people in Jerusalem were affected greatly. A few years later, there was another earthquake, that time in the reign of Claudius. And these events then were followed by a great drought that lasted for quite some time. So the people in Jerusalem found themselves in great need. The apostles told Paul, if you remember, as you go out and you preach to the Gentiles, remember the poor saints at Jerusalem. He told them that in Galatians, as Paul recounts that. And Paul was very faithful to that. As Paul went out and those who were with him and they preached from place to place, they were faithful to remember the saints at Jerusalem, I'm sure in their prayers, but also in the collecting of funds so that they might take them back to be a relief to them. As you might recall, in the first letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in the very last chapter, he spoke about that giving. Told them, as we talked a little bit there on Wednesday night, on the first day of the week, when you come together, bring your offering together so that when we come, that no special collections basically had to be taken up. And Corinth had agreed. They had agreed that, yes, they would send money to the saints. But as of yet, they haven't done it. They haven't done it as of yet. And this chapter deals with that subject of the uncollected offering. So let's look in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I got to tell you, when I read that verse, I had to look up the word wit. I've never used the word wit in this kind of verbiage. I've been called a dimwit a couple of times, but that's a whole different kind of wit. But this word wit means known. Known. We do make known to you the grace of God bestowed, or that is given, of the churches in Macedonia. Paul opens up the chapter wanting to tell them of the faithfulness of the saints who were in Macedonia for their giving. Now, the saints in Macedonia represent at least three different churches, the Church of Philippi, the Church of Thessalonica, and the Church of Berea, and probably some more as well. But he opens up this part of the chapter in saying that the churches in Macedonia have responded and they've given. Now, look in verse number 2. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. The saints in Macedonia were far from wealthy. As a matter of fact, they weren't in really much better shape than the saints were down in Jerusalem or the saints down in Israel. They were in poverty as well. But when Paul asked them for the offering for the saints that were down there that were worse off than them, they gave what they had. They gave what they had. And they gave what they could spare. And furthermore, the saints there in Macedonia, they gave in joy. They didn't give grudgingly, saying, well, why in the world are we already in poverty and sending this money down to these people that we don't know? They never acted that way. They saw that the saints in Jerusalem were in worse shape than what they were, and they gave out of their abundance. They gave what they had. They gave all they could. Verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Their giving was under their own power. You remember on Wednesday, for those who were here on Wednesday, we spoke of the difference between a tithe and an offering. But an offering, we said, was something that was given out of the heart. It was never a required amount. God never said you bring 10% extra for an offering or anything like that. Offerings were never, you must do this. Not that kind of thing. Offerings were to be brought out of the gladness of one's heart, and the saints in Macedonia were more than willing to do everything they could to give. We praise the Lord for that. Verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, the saints of Macedonia considered this giving to the Christians down in Jerusalem as a way of entering into the ministry of Paul and those with him. And I want you to consider that for just a moment. I want to dwell on that thought for just a moment. You know, when a missionary is working with a group of people that have some kind of need, and you, though you may be somewhere around the world, have in your abundance the ability to give those people what they need so that he might be a better ministry unto them, when we give, we are entering into that ministry with that missionary. We're entering into it. We're entering into the work. So let's put that into our perspective today. Let's bring it home. Brother Katrian, when he was here, one thing that he did is he made known to us the need for the saints there in Guyana to have Bibles, something we take for granted, right? We all have lots of Bibles around our house, but down there are no printing presses. I know we find that absurd, right? But there's no printing presses, so everything that's brought in has to be imported, and the Bibles are very expensive to import. Now, he asked us, and not just us. As a matter of fact, he told me, he said, brother, this is not something that really that I should just ask of you. But, you know, since I'm here, and since I've talked about this need, and you think it's a good idea, let's let all the churches know that I go to. That way we can share the burden together, and so they can enter into the ministry of this together. That's what we're talking about. The very same thing. I think it's a good idea. Now, verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, here Paul is saying that the giving of the saints in the churches of Macedonia far exceeded his expectations. Paul didn't expect to receive as much as he received in them. But they were just like those, remember in the book of Exodus, as we talked about on Wednesday, as we have recorded there, the great offering, when they told them, you know what, we need gold, we need silver, we need skins, we need all of these things, and the people brought out so much that in the next chapter they said, you've got to quit giving, we've got more than enough. Right? Such a wonderful thing. Verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. The plan for giving again had been laid out in the first letter that he had written to them. It was Paul's hope that as Titus was sent there, as he was among them, that he might be able to collect those funds, those offerings, and then bring them back and add them to what the saints in Macedonia had given. But again, Titus came, and Titus is now with Paul, and no money was sent. So far, they had been all talk and no action. Verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in all love to see us, see that you abound in this grace also. Paul tells them, you know what, you're doing great in faith. Boy, you've really straightened things out. You know, your diligence to live spiritual lives, you've done so much better. You're abounding in all of these things. You're not lacking in anything except for this. You see, they haven't done enough. They were lacking in their giving. And Paul desires that they be whole in all their works for the Lord and not just leave something undone. Not be lacking in anything, whether it be in faith or works. And here, their faith had abounded now, but their works were lacking. Verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, the phrase here, speak not by commandment, is referring to the fact, again, that this is an offering. It is free will. It is something that is to be willingly given. It is not a direct command that they must do this. The phrase, the forwardness of others, is speaking to the fact that the saints of Macedonia have already done this, probably partly because they've already heard that Corinth was going to do this as well, but they haven't as of yet. But they need to join together to show this love. Now, you know, one of the things that I like about Paul, Paul is amazing at this when you start studying Scripture. Paul can bring the gospel into just about any subject. Now, we've been talking about giving and this offering that's to be made. Now look in verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus Christ was not just some man. Jesus Christ was indeed God. He was there with the Father, with the Spirit in heaven. He was there in glory. He was there in splendor. The angels shouted above him, holy, holy, holy. You know, we can't even begin to imagine the exaltedness of his position. We can't even imagine the splendor of heaven. We can't imagine the riches of a place where the streets are made of gold. But willingly, Jesus laid all of those things aside, laid aside the glory and the splendor, and put on the veil of flesh to be born and laid away in a manger. Now, how many of you ladies could imagine wrapping up your newborn child and sticking it in a food trough? Not many, probably. That's where our Jesus laid. He was not born into wealth. He lived a normal life for the day, which means that he existed from day to day, because that's how they existed. You know, he didn't own land for himself. The Word of God tells us he didn't have a bed to call his own while he was here. But this he did for us. He became poor for us. He came to bear our sorrows, to feel our pain, and most of all, to take our place. You know, in the Word of God, we are exhorted to be like Jesus. And Jesus was ready to give up everything that he had to give it to those who didn't deserve it. Did you ever think about giving in that way? When we offer and offerings to other people that were following after Christ. You know, I've never really thought about giving in that kind of respect and comparing it to what Jesus has done for us. And You know, when you put it in that perspective, it shows really how selfish we are at times and how we don't give when we can. Verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Again, he assures them that this is a request. This is not a command. It is Paul's advice. He believes it to be in their best interest to complete the work that was started a year ago or more. Paul tells them that this, it is expedient. That is, it's in their best interest to do it soon. He tells them in the next chapter that, you know, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. So it's in their best interest to give. And verse number 11 says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of which ye have. Now, we have absolutely no idea why they stopped taking up the collection. It might have been because, and we know that there were false teachers in the church there at Corinth, false prophets, who were saying of Paul, you know what, Paul is just wanting this money for himself. They're going to collect these things for themselves. They're just scoundrels. You know, that might have been the reason that they stopped. But for whatever reason that they stopped, Paul is telling them they need to start it up again and they need to do it now to finish what they started. Now, Paul's going to give them some further instruction here about their giving. Look in verse number 12. For if their first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, what he is saying is this. If a person has a willing mind to give, not out of command, not out of the feeling of obligation, but if out of the willingness of their heart they desire to be a help to those who need it, then they ought to give what they can spare. God never requires one to go in debt to give an offering to someone else, and God never requires for someone to put their own family in need in order to give to another. That's what the verse is saying. The saints at Macedonia had given a lot, seemingly, even to the point maybe perhaps where it hurt. They didn't do it out of command. They did it out of the desire to help. They sowed bountifully. You know what? I'm sure that they reap bountifully, because that's what the Word of God says. Verse number 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. The design of the giving was not so that they could take a bunch of money down to Jerusalem so that the Jews never had to work in order to take care of their own needs. That wasn't the whole idea, that they struggle up here to send money down here so that they can live in ease down in Jerusalem. That wasn't what Paul was speaking about. It's not what he wanted. Verse number 14 describes it a little more. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, there may be equality. You know, the churches in Macedonia, as we said, they were hurting. They were poor places. But you know what? Corinth was a different place. And Corinth was under different circumstances. Now, obviously, we know that there were some who were in Corinth that were poor. We learned that from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? We know that some of them were poor. Now, we also know, though, from the same chapter, that there were some in the church that were wealthy. As a matter of fact, when you look at Corinth, remember, Corinth was a busy metropolis of the day. It was that area where all the ships, they would take the ships literally and break them down and pass through the isthmus over to the other side. It was safer for them to do that. So you had all of this merchant traffic passing through Corinth. And Corinth had the reputation of being a very wealthy city. So obviously there was some wealth here in the church. There were people who were doing well for themselves. Theoretically, they should have been able to give more than the saints in Macedonia. They had more to begin with. Paul said that if they gave out of their abundance, that they would receive in abundance as well. His desire was that there would be some kind of equality here shared because of this. Now, let's read on. Verse number 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Well, that's a strange verse, right? Kind of in the middle of this text. But it's a quote from the Old Testament. And here it's a quote from the Old Testament where the saints are in the wilderness and how God provided for them manna. And when they went out to collect the manna, if someone collected more manna than what they could eat and they tried to save it over to the next day, what would happen? It would spoil, right? It got those nasty worms in it. They couldn't eat it. But now, if somebody came along and perhaps they didn't take up a whole lot for the day, well, maybe they wouldn't have a lot for the day, but you know what? The next day there was a whole new supply. You see, this is how God supplied them. Under God's feeding schedule, everybody had the ability to have the same. Now, again, I want to reiterate, if I didn't make it clear the first time, Paul and the apostles never tried to promote some kind of welfare program for the church in Jerusalem to receive from everyone else. He made that clear in verse number 13. And God's Word speaks against the laziness of saints, right? We know that in the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. One of those churches in Macedonia he was writing to. He said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now, we kind of hear a lot today about taking a little bit from the rich and giving it to the poor. Taking it from the rich and giving it to the poor. This is not the same thing. You see, in this circumstance, Paul is saying, give out of your abundance to the poor. Give out of a joyful heart to the poor. It wasn't a requirement for them to do that, but it was to do that out of the goodness of their heart. Not by force. Look in verse 16. "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you." Now, Titus had been there. He'd given a good report to Paul about what had happened there. Titus got along very well with the church at Corinth, and Paul was very excited about this. And Paul, when it was burdened upon his mind to write about this, he desired to send Titus back. He was going to ask Titus to go back and get this collection from them. But as he went to go ask Titus if he would go, Titus had already set in his heart to go. He already desired to go. Now, Paul would not send Titus alone. Paul was very careful. He didn't want anyone to have the opportunity to say, "You're fleecing the sheep. You're trying to take money from people and use it for yourself." So, and so too, you know, there was a large sum of money that was probably going to be collected. And to put it all on one person's shoulder might have been too much temptation on one person as they're walking lonely on the road, right? So, look what he does here. Verse number 18. "And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Now, the person here is not named. But one thing is for sure that the saints at Corinth would have known immediately who he was talking about. He said his praise was in the gospel. And if Paul, by saying that phrase, is speaking about one of the gospel writers, the greatest chance of the person that it is probably Luke, because we see Luke so much associated with Paul. But it's also a possibility that it could be John Mark, right, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. We see that they were associated together as well, not so much as Luke. But we don't know who he was. But here we see others as well, verses 19 and 20. And not that only, but who also was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and to the declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in his abundance, which is administered by us. So what Paul did is these other churches like Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, when they gave their money, he said, you know what, send you a couple of men out so that they can help bear that purse and so that they can make sure that everything is up and up as we deliver this money down to the saints in Jerusalem. So these men, too, are going to be coming down to Corinth. Now, by the way, you know, as I consider that thought, you know, Paul sending those men to make sure that everything is on the up and up, it's not a bad idea for a church of God to send out some of their members occasionally to check on some of the missionaries and mission works that we support, right? To make sure that everything's on the up and up. Because sometimes they're not. Sometimes, you know, we've heard a lot of horrible stories over the years of some people who are doing exactly what we saw talking about, fleecing the flock. So it's not a bad idea for that to be done. As a matter of fact, probably should be done. Verse number 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Once again, another brother here is named, and have no idea who it is. Hard to speculate. Let's finish reading out the chapter. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Now Paul finishes this section by boasting of his relationship with Titus as a fellow worker in the Lord. But in this last verse, he makes it known to Corinth, as I've been up here preaching to these other churches, I have been boasting about you. I've been boasting about the changes that's been taking place in your church, and I've been boasting over the fact of how you said you were going to make this offering. I've been boasting about that. Now it's time that you show proof that you're going to follow through to show your love for your fellow saints in Christ, especially those that are in need. Now, that brings us to the end of this chapter. And as I said, as we go into the next chapter, we're going to see a little bit of the same thing about giving. So next week, Lord willing, well, perhaps next week, we may change things up next week a little bit, considering we're having our Thanksgiving meal then. But the next time that we get into Corinth, the Corinthian letter here, we'll talk about this chapter. We may cross over into chapter 10 as well, depending upon how the Lord leads. So with that, we'll go ahead and end.